Brings us to just after 12 midday, which means it's time for the final part of our series for this week, A Christmas Postcard, The History of the Nativity Story, a series exploring the Christian story of the Nativity through dramatisations of biblical and medieval devotional texts with documentary contributions and original music. Today in episode 5, The Nativity in Art, artistic depictions of the birth of Christ from medieval to modern times with dramatised passages taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and Suda Bonaventure's Meditations on the Life of Christ.
And lo, the star in the east went before them to
on this day of the Epiphany, which is the 12th after the Nativity, our Lord Jesus vouchsafed to make himself known to the Gentiles in the person of three kings. First then, the church, which is gathered from the Gentiles, was on this day of the Epiphany received by Jesus Christ in the person of the three kings. For on the day of his nativity, he had manifested himself to the shepherds as representatives of the Jews, from whom a small number accepted, he met with no reception. But on this day, he appeared again and made himself known to the Gentiles, by whom he was immediately acknowledged and received. And from them it is that we are descended, who now form the church of God's chosen people. This day, therefore, ought especially to be kept as a most solemn feast in the church of God, and celebrated with great pomp and with hearts full of joy by all good and pious Christians.
The birth of Jesus has been a major inspiration for Christian artists. The earliest representations of a nativity date to the 4th century. A Roman sarcophagus, dated to around the year 330, depicts a series of miracles performed by Christ. The top left corner of the upper section is occupied by the scene of a nativity. We see a child lying in a manger with a shepherd standing and two animals witnessing the scene. There is no image of Mary or Joseph here. The scene incorporates gospel elements, including the baby and the shepherd, mentioned by the Gospel of Luke, as well as apocryphal elements of the two animals. The figures of an ox and a donkey do not feature in the gospel accounts of the Nativity, but are mentioned in the Apocrypha that were not part of a canon of the sacred scriptures. The apocryphal texts speak of two animals adoring baby Jesus and link the two animals to the Old Testament prophecies that foretold how the Lord will be made manifest between the two animals. For the early Christian writers, the ox stood for Jews enchained by the law, while the donkey stood for Gentiles, who were burdened by the weight of idolatry. Late medieval devotional texts, such as the Franciscan Meditations on the Life of Christ and the Dominican Golden Legend, continue to include the ox and the donkey in the story. According to such texts, Joseph took the two animals from Nazareth as the Holy Family went to Bethlehem to enroll in a census. The donkey carried pregnant Mary, and the ox was brought to pay for the tax. When the baby was born, the two animals warmed the child with their breath.
But as the solemn institution of this festival was chiefly to commemorate the mystery of the Epiphany, we will on that account proceed to a further contemplation of it. And even concerning the coming of the three kings to Christ our Saviour, my design here is not to lay before the reader any of those learned comments or moral expositions which many holy men with great pains and industry have made on this subject and on this account. For the manner of their coming from the east to Jerusalem, the star which conducted them thither, what passed between them and Herod, or for the matter and meaning of their offerings and other things of the kind, I refer the reader to the Holy Gospel and the expositions of learned men on these heads.
The Book of Kells opens Matthew's nativity story with a splendid Cairo monogram that proclaims the birth of Christ. The Cairo monogram is formed by the first two letters of a Greek word for Christ, Chi, shaped as an X, and Rho, shaped as a letter P. That shape evokes the sign of a cross, and at the same time, it stands for the name of Christ. In that magnificent X shape, we see the allusion to the cross, while the text reads about the birth. In the writings of the early church fathers, the birth of Christ was seen as an integral part of salvation brought about by the crucifixion. Christ had to become incarnate so he would die on the cross for the sins of humanity. Within the Kells monogram, the intricate designs enclose images of angelic figures, insects, sea and land animals, as well as a human head. They represent the entire creation, paying homage to their creator. Similar sentiments are expressed by later medieval artists who continue to view the nativity as an integral part of a salvation history. Medieval images link the birth of Christ to his death. The so-called Columba altarpiece, painted in the middle of the 15th century by a Netherlandish artist, Roger van der Weyden, depicts the scenes of the Annunciation, the Adoration of the Magi, and the Presentation in the Temple. The central panel shows the Adoration of the Magi, who arrive with their retinue, dressed in magnificent clothes, and represent three different ages of people, with the oldest Magus kneeling, while the middle-aged and the youthful Magi stand behind him. The scene is set in a dilapidated building, supported by columns. A small crucifix is pinned against one of the columns. Here, in a single image, we see the birth and the death of Christ depicted together. many medieval images, the manger takes on an architectural shape. It can be ornate or supported by columns in order to evoke the structure of an altar. The Eucharistic association of a nativity is suggested by the place of Christ's birth. The name Bethlehem in Hebrew means the house of bread and alludes to the Eucharist. In later medieval images, we see Mary and Joseph kneeling in adoration, worshipping the child, who may radiate a circle of light or be placed on the ground and enclosed within a golden circle, recalling the shape of the Eucharistic host. Late medieval images inspired by the affective piety of mendicant orders would emphasize the intimate relationship between the characters of a nativity story. Mary can be shown softly embracing her child or looking at him with motherly love. Joseph can appear worried or preoccupied with domestic duties. The Magi are curious astrologers in search for an answer who become transfixed by the sight of a child, while the shepherds are surprised and rejoiced when they hear the news that break the monotony of their days. In other words, the late medieval audiences are invited to witness a homely scene. At times, donors who commissioned such images would place themselves as part of a nativity story as they adore the newborn child alongside the gospel characters. Christmas crib incorporates the figures of Mary, Joseph, and the baby, accompanied by the Magi and the shepherds, as well as the animals, sheep, a donkey, and an ox. A construction of the first crib is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who, as we are told, wished to celebrate the birth of Jesus by turning the nativity story into an immediate sensorial event that included the presence of the animals. The event made such an impression on the participants that one of them accounted how Francis appeared to be holding a real child in his arms. The hay from Francis's crib was said to have healing properties. Nowadays, Christians continue to visit cribs in churches and pull strings of hay or straw and bring them home for good luck. People give gifts, as the Magi did, with a tradition of gift-giving around the time of the winter solstice, going back to the celebration of the Roman Saturnalia. At the Christmas table, people wear paper crowns, alluding to the Magi, who came to be interpreted as the kings. We decorate houses and streets with lights, because above all, Christmas is a festival of light and the celebration of the all-conquering sun.
Star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
And that was episode 5 of A Christmas Postcard, the history of the Nativity story, The Nativity in Art. Dramatic parts were played by Mark Doughton and Vicky Keating. The historical contributor was Dr. Malgorzata Krasnodemska-Doughton of UCC School of History. Original music composed by Mark Wilkins and performed by Mark Wilkins, Vicky Keating and Trevor Kiley. Drama direction by Dr. Chrissy Poulter of TCD School of Drama, Film and Music. And sound supervision by Kieran Hurley. It was adapted for radio by Connor O'Toole, Mark Doughton and Dr. Malgorzata Krasnodemska-Doughton. A Christmas Postcard was produced for RTE Lyric FM by Conor O'Toole. Producer for Lyric FM was Owen O'Kelly. And A Christmas Postcard is made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.